17. I'm going to try to move along today a little bit. I think we'll start reading in verse number 10. We talked about verse 9 last week, so we'll just start in verse 10. That way we don't take 30 minutes on a review. Verse number 10. I worked more than I think I ever have over the last 3 days and feel probably the best I've felt in a long time, so there must be something wrong with that. So if you feel good after no sleep, something's wrong, I think. But anyway, we'll call that the grace of God and move forward this morning. Verse number 10, let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity to come to your house this morning. We thank you for your goodness and for your grace. We know, God, that as it's already been mentioned, some folks are in the hospital and not able to make it this morning. And other reasons, God, for other reasons, folks weren't able to make it. I pray that you'd bless each one, God, that wanted to but couldn't. But, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us here. We're gathered together. Lord, you said we're two or three gathered together there. You'd be in the midst. And I pray you would walk among us, God, speak to each heart. Lord, I've only got one message this morning. I only got one train of thought. But I know, God, that you are a God that can speak to each and every heart. And I pray that you would. I pray that you'd deal, God, with us as we need it. And I pray, God, you'd forgive us our sins and wash us and speak with us this morning. Now, thank you, God, for everything you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, verse number 10. We'll read a few verses here, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. Now, there's several warnings right there, verse 10 through 15, probably more than we'll be able to get through this morning, but I will try to get through those. Going back up to verse number 10, a reproof entereth into a wise man more than 100 stripes into a fool. Now, just listen to the sound of that verse, and all of these things are negative. None of these things are any good for, especially if you're a fool, that's negative. Amen. If you're a wise man, how many wise men do we have among us this morning? I don't see no hands, so this is all negative. And you can't complain because I gave you the chance. I said, are you wise or are you wise? If you would have raised your hand, I'd have gave you the wise version. But you didn't raise your hand, so I had to give you the fool's version. Amen. But at any rate, it's all negative. It's all bad. But really, you can take it as a warning. If you secretly consider yourself to be wise, it'll be all right. It's probably been proud for you to raise your hand anyway, wouldn't it? If you'd have raised your hand, you'd have been proud. And if you had not raised your hand, you're just admitting to be a fool. So you can't win for losing. But at any rate, all of these things are fairly negative, but we can look at them in the light of a warning. We can look at them in the light of something we could take heed to in order to correct ourselves a little bit maybe, or maybe pay a little better attention the next time the Lord chastens us. The Bible says, whom he loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That means you get a little whooping. Now that just means God has walked contrary to the laws of the state of Delaware and punishing his children with corporal punishment. But see, God don't give a rip about the laws of the state of Delaware. He said it's better to do right. Amen. It's better to do right than to pay heed to the foolishness of men. But at any rate, a reproof entereth more, verse 10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Now, if you was to take your belt off and give somebody a whooping, that's outward. Amen? You hit them on their backside. That's outward. And what you really want discipline to do is to get on the inside. See, if you got a little liar, you want to correct him so he stops lying. The Bible says in the New Testament, let him that stole steal no more. So you want to correct the problem. So if you correct out of anger, which the Bible says sometimes we do. Men correct their children after their own heart and after their own mind. Sometimes you just It has been known to happen for parents just to whoop their kids just because they're mad. You ruined my carpet. Well, that would be considered an accident in most places. Not now, if I'm going to take this cup of bleach and spill it on my mother's carpet on purpose, now that's evil. That might be something you want to correct. But just accidents and stuff like that, I know I carried many a whooping when I was a boy because of accidental stuff. And of course, you know, I got away with a bunch of stuff, so it all evened out, I think. But most of the time, you know, a lot of times parents act with their own personal response rather than the actual correction. What you want is not just your discipline to affect the outside of the child. That's why the Bible says, provoke not your children to anger. And so a lot of times if you whoop a kid knows if he's right or wrong. Amen? Don't you think he's got enough sense to know if he's right or wrong? Now, if he's a little liar, which most kids are, they'll plead their own cause even if they know they're wrong. But what I'm trying to get across to you is that the kid actually knows if he's right or wrong or if he intended to do this or that. And most of the time you can tell if you'll do a little investigation. What'd you do that for? And you can kind of read not only what's coming out of their mouth, but their facial expression. You can see if a kid really meant to do what he did or all those things. Take that into consideration. And carpets and stuff can be replaced. Now, you don't want to replace them every week. Amen. if a kid breaks a dish, got to give him a whooping because he's got to learn not to break dishes. No. If he breaks one every day, now he needs to be taught to be mindful. It's not a dish problem, it's a mindfulness problem. See, that's what you're wanting to correct. And if you got to spend a little extra money on an extra dish to help the kid get the mindfulness, then, you know, let him see the 50th plate that he's broken, then let him see the belt. Amen. Maybe feel it a little bit. And then move on. First time offenses, a lot of stuff. Now, I'm not setting myself up as a standard. The Bible's the standard. But as far as my children go, it only takes about once or twice. Now, Reese is a little bit different. But Reese is a little bit different story, but I can remember the first time I gave Tori a whooping. I know, you know, the old saying is it hurts, you know, me more than it does you. But it seemed to me like it hurt her pretty good, but it did, you know, affect me a little bit. And I said, boy, I hope I don't never have to do that again. And I was serious about that. I don't know many transgressions that they could have done that, you know. I mean, I've seen them over the years break stuff and, you know, do crazy things or stupid things they probably shouldn't have done. But, you know, that's part of life. If I had a whooping for everything that I ever done stupid, and when I'm not talking about wrong, I'm just talking about stupid. Oh, I'd be black and blue to this day. But you know, a lot of times, and maybe it's a little bit different now, but when I was a boy, people got whoopings just for doing stupid stuff. Don't do stupid stuff no more. Well, we're humans. We're mostly stupid anyway. But what you want to do is you want to have that correction go to the inside. And I think the first time that I had to give Tori a whoop, and she spilled this big jar of pennies out. I was like, no big deal. She's playing with the pennies. And I had to keep an eye on her because she's just little. And they end up eating the pennies or something like that. That's not good. But then when playtime was over, put the pennies up. She just looked up at me. Hey, put the pennies up. Put them up now. Put them up right now. And it turned into one of those things. And what's this kid doing? I mean, I'm clearly bigger than her. You know, you can't, you ever tried bullying a kid that's trying to fill out their oats and see how far they go? Well, I gave her a little whooping, and she put the pennies up. And I don't know if I've ever had to whoop her since. It'd be hard for me to remember if I've ever had to whoop her again. But I think what the difference is, the whooping went to the inside. It wasn't just an outward thing. And it was something that went to the inside, and she took heed to, hey, when Daddy says something, it needs to be done. And well, I just wish Reese had a little bit of that. He don't have none of that. He's I think, a little bit more, and I think it probably has something to do with men and women. Men and women are not equal. If you think that, you're an idiot. And I say that with as much niceness and love as possible. Men and women are not equal. In any way, shape, or form, they're not equal. And when it comes to intellect, I'm not saying which one's smarter. I'm just saying men and women think different. They think about things different. They react to things different. It's a different world. And if you don't know that, have yourself a little girl and have yourself a little boy at the same time, and you'll see. You'll see what the difference is. They're not the same. Not the same at all. And if you want to argue after that, see if an NFL team will sign you up to play linebacker. Amen. Well, they just don't do that sort of thing. But at any rate, I don't know why that would upset anybody, but it does. I mean, can't you be satisfied with what God made you? Amen. I guess not. I'm glad to be a man. And if it's your opinion, if you're a woman and it's your opinion that women are better than men, I would think the same way. If I was a woman, I'd think men are stupid. But I'm not a woman. And I would, if I was a woman, I'd think women are very superior to men. I would think that way if I was a woman, because I got enough pride to know that. I don't even have to know what it is to be a woman. I just know if there's pride in a person's heart, he'll think, well, I'm better than you. That's the way people are, amen? And so I'm not talking about who's superior. I'm not talking anything about that. Just saying men and women are different. I had to throw that in for free because I felt like it got a little quieter after I said that. It's a sad day when you can tell plain, honest truth in a Baptist church and it gets quiet. It doesn't make any sense to me. It is the truth. You're not going to change it. You can make laws to say that everybody's the same, and it's just not true. It's not true. But at any rate, let's just move on. I'm not talking about people's worth, not talking about people's superiority or inferiority. I'm just saying people are not equal. It's just not, the Constitution says all men are created equal. Yeah, but after that, amen? Amen. And you go out, you go to work and pay your bills every week, and compared to a man that don't go to work and don't pay his bills, you're better than him. You're not equal. He said, well, if he'd have had a better chance, he had a chance. He was born. Amen. Amen. He had a chance and he was disobedient. He played instead of worked. That was a choice he made. Amen. He said, well, they was real poor and had poverty. No, sir, not in this country. Amen. I've lived in the down south. I'm talking about not just south, down south, dirty south, where people who don't have no jobs and on welfare got Cadillacs. Folks around here said, Brother Mike got a Cadillac. Oh, so does everybody on welfare in southeast Georgia. Don't make no difference. You can buy a Cadillac for $5,000. Don't make no difference. But this country, you don't have no excuse if you hadn't got out and done something in this country. There's kids in southeast Georgia that have more money than their mamas and daddies because they got a lawnmower. And they'll get out and work. Amen. Did you know you can make a fine living with a lawnmower? Amen. They're just poverty. No, you lazy bum, that's what you are. Amen. 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 That's right, ain't it? Amen. Amen. Put you to work with some of these patents around here laying block or something like that. Amen. Y'all still laying block any? They done got over 40 and left the block behind. Amen. That's a good idea. But at any rate, let's move back to this. Verse number 9. I don't know where that come from, down from the heavens. We ain't got no lazy folks. Well, you didn't admit to being a fool, so you're not going to admit to being lazy either. Amen. See, the thing is, you don't have to admit that to me. Just get on the altar somewhere and say, God, I'm I'm a lazy, foolish man. God will help you. Amen. He will. I've made that. I still make the admission about being a fool. You ask my wife, I'm one of the biggest fools that there is. I make the same mistakes. That's a fool.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about. He said that a reproof would enter more into a wise man than 100 stripes would a fool. I've had more than 100 stripes, and I still do some of the same stuff. Crazy. Foolish. We'll leave it at foolish because I don't want to really have the tag crazy on me. But at any rate, he that covereth the transgression seeketh love. No, I'm in verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. And that is a question that I've asked myself before. How many stripes am I going to take before I get this under control? And a lot of people start praying. You know, they got this habit or whatever, and they'll start praying. They'll say, Lord, take this away from me. And I understand the concept, but I also want you to understand the reality of it. You've got to get involved when it comes to your habits and the things you keep doing over and over again. That's your responsibility in there somewhere. And I know the Lord forgives and the Lord cleanses and the Lord drives out evil spirits, which is a thing. Amen. Some things are fleshly habits. Some things are spiritual and even demonic. And you say, well, Brother Mike, I don't believe Christians can be possessed with no devils. Well, I got a good answer for that, which my old pastor used to have. Brother Lackey, he used to say this, if a devil can make you do what he wants you to do, what difference does it make if he's in you or out of you? And see, that gives you a real clear definition of what possession with the devil means. It's not little Susie Q walking around your television screen with their head spinning around and walking across us. That's not demon possession. That means you are in possession of the devil. You are his possession. It don't mean necessarily there's anything in you or out of it, although it can be an inward possession. There's no question about that. Possessed, though, it's not defined by something being in you or out of you, although it may be the case. But see, I possess a car. I'm not in it, but it is my possession. And that, if you look up the word possession, it has nothing to do with being in anything, unless somebody took a Bible definition and put it in there. A possession is something you own. You own your house, right? It's on you. Well, that's a technical term. Maybe the bank owns it or somebody else owns it, but it's not in you. You're in it, but it's your possession. Well, possession means it's ownership, directorship, and so forth and so on. That could be the problem. And like Dr. Ruckman says, you might need to cast them out of yourself. Get to praying. Fast a little bit if necessary. Get those things taken care of. Because I don't want to go much over 100 stripes, do you? That's what it said, 100 stripes. My mother didn't even give 100 stripes. She gave, I mean, altogether, sure, but not at one time. And I don't want to get 100 stripes, amen? He that, verse number 10, I keep wanting to read verse number 9. Let's read it. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. Oh, I didn't talk about that at all last week. I'll just drop this in on you. Keep your mouth shut. Amen. Pretty good summary of that verse, isn't it? Amen. Probably wouldn't get me a thesis, wouldn't count for a thesis for a doctorate, but that'll cover the matter pretty good. Verse 10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. And you can kind of gauge yourself right there. Do I keep on, or do I learn from my mistakes, or do I learn from when somebody else, a reproof is when somebody else corrects you. That's bad. You're a legalist if you do that. If you correct other people, you're a legalist. But I'm thankful for many of the corrections that I've had from preachers and from my mother and from my father and from folks in the Marine Corps. They gave us a little bit of correction, whether you believe that or not. But, you know, some people talk about how much discipline you get in the military. Maybe in the Air Force or something like that, but getting the Marine Corps, and I'm sure probably the same in the Air Force and the Navy and probably the Army too, but in the Marine Corps, you get all this discipline while you're actually on duty, but afterwards, you're with a bunch of guys 18 years old, and there's no discipline. Well, actually, all the discipline and all that stuff, it shows up when you're about 35, 40 years old. You're in the Marines, and you go through all this trouble, and I think you actually get, I don't think you get PTSD in war. I think you get it in boot camp. And you go through all that junk and people hollering at you and making you clean floors with toothbrushes and stuff. And then you go out and you just mean it's the devil anyway. And then about 35, you think, the floor sure is clean over there. Or sure, that floor sure is dirty over there. And the floor needs to be clean. Some of that stuff only, you know, hooks up to your mind later on down the road. But at any rate, talking about discipline. It's usually the discipline that you got, if you'll think about it, most of it come from your mother when in your early teenage years and below. And then after that, got about 16, you got dumb as a rock and did what you wanted to until God got a hold of you. And that's usually about the way it works. And then by the time you're 50, some of those whoopings you got when you're 12 actually take hold. Now, you got rare folks that'll, you know, take the discipline as they go through. And I held my breath when Tori got 13 or 14. I said, it's all over. She's going to go wild now. And I'm just looking back at my own teenage years and thought, boy, thank God she's got a mother. When it didn't turn out, by the time she was 16, she wasn't drinking. I was like, well, her mother must have did some good. But at any rate, that's just, you know, if you look back and remember what you're doing when you was a teenager, you better correct them, because you know a lot of times your kids won't be like you, they'll be worse than you.
That's right.
So we can be thankful at least we got our kids in church and you know, amen?
Yeah.
I think that's good enough. And I was in church, and I was in one of the strictest churches in the country. I'm talking about strict, independent Baptist, probably all the same things taught there that's here, but it was strict. It was, you know, got a TV, you can't be a deacon or a bus driver or anything like that. You had to be walking the line. But what that makes a lot of times is people that's walking the line where everybody can see. Put the TV in the closet. Preacher probably going to come by on Thursday to put the TV in the closet. That has an effect on your kids. It has an effect on them. But at any rate, listen, if you want your reproof to your kids, your discipline to your kids not to enter in, you tell them not to be rebellious, but you're rebellious. Or you tell them not to do something and let them see you do it. Tell them not to talk this way and hear you talking that way. That's going to come back to bite you, because what they're doing is remember I said they know when they're wrong? They know when you're wrong too. And they know if they can hear you say continually, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, but see you do it, then it's maybe they're your kids, they love you, they're probably not sitting around at first saying mama's a hypocrite, they're just saying this doesn't mean anything. Yeah. Then by the time they've lived in their own sin for a couple of years real bad, they'll start calling you a hypocrite, because now their conscience bothers them, they'll be blaming it on you. Yeah. You're going to have some healing to go through. Later on down the road, things are going to be different than they were if you just buckled down. Well, I don't think we ought to live for the Lord just out of discipline. We ought to live for Him just for love. Well, if you ain't got enough love, I'd try the discipline part, because you're a fallen human being. Born again, I understand, but you're still fallen, and sometimes you're going to have to do right just because it's right, whether you feel it or not, because there's somebody coming along behind you that deserves a good start. Guess I got to drag myself out of bed. I don't want to go to church this morning. Well, you know, there ain't no use in going if my heart ain't in it. Yes, there is. There's reason to go if your heart ain't in it. Just get up and go. You say, why? Because there's a 12-year-old in there in the bed that don't want to go either. You know, a man get up mad because he got to go to church. You know what he'll do? He'll go in there and kick the door in on his kid. Y'all get out of bed, you sorry devil. You're the one that's sorry. What you ought to try to do one time is walk in there and open the door and say, boys, it'd be nice to lay out of church today, wouldn't it? They'll go, yeah, Dad. Whoo, yeah, it'd be nice to lay out today. We was up so late last night. Can we sleep an extra hour? Yeah, I'd really like to lay in bed an extra hour too, but let's go to church. It's the right thing to do. Let's go. Just be honest. Amen. Amen. Just be honest. Be honest with your kids. Be honest with your parents. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Many's the time I've heard a preacher preach something that I knew I was guilty of, and first of all, I'd be like, well, who does he think he's talking to? Because I'm a rebel just like you. But then you know what? The best thing to do, and I found this is true, the best thing to do is like, Lord, you know, he's right. Sometimes I've steamed about things for 3 or 4 days. Well, stupid. He's preaching his second sermon. I've been preaching all these years. He don't know what he's talking about. He don't understand the greater scope. He don't understand that verse. Well, what about this verse and this verse? I got 3 more references besides that. And if you want to go further than that, we can find several more. I got some of those verses memorized. Go through that about a week and then finally say, you know, Lord, he's right, and I just don't want to get right. Just be honest with God. Usually about 3 or 4 weeks, it don't always happen overnight. About 3 or 4 weeks, God will work something in your heart. You'll be like, guess I'll just get this thing right. Amen. Are you doing it because you love the Lord? No, it's my duty. It's my duty to get right. I not only get to be saved, I not only get to come to church and fellowship with God's children, but I also have a responsibility. I have responsibility. I have to walk worthy of the vocation. You're called. The gifts and callings of God without repentance. And God loves you. And God, I understand all that. That's the good part. But I also have a responsibility. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You ever heard that verse? It's not often preached. But it's in there. Judge not. Okay, I'll give you that verse. Let me give you a verse. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Are we about even? Amen. That's just the way it is, and you've got to be honest with yourself. Is the discipline that God's given you, is it getting to the inside? Or is it just bumps and bruises? Look back over the last 5 years. Are you growing, or are you just getting bumps and bruises? Well, Brother Mike, every time I come to church, the preacher's preaching real hard. And well, I mean, I look around from time to time and I see a couple of people sitting there with like they're getting bumps and bruises. But what about these people that shouting amen and running around the building? They're hearing the same message you are. Amen. That's right. Well, those are the Pharisees. Well, look what a wonderful time they're having. Would you like a membership card to the Pharisee Club? Amen. You say, Brother Mike, we see your face up there. I mean, I've got about 100,000 comments. Who are you mad at? Well, a lot of times, whoever's preaching, because they say stupid stuff. Like, oh, that's probably wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong by several verses. But anyway. You know, young people get up and preach, or visiting preachers come in, you're like, man, that's ridiculous. I wish you wouldn't have said that. I'm glad I didn't say that. But anyway, I had all the bad stuff. I got a lot of opportunities to preach when I first started preaching. I said a lot of dumb stuff. And I said it for a long time. My first message was 1 hour and 45 minutes. I haven't fell far from the trees since, but if Sunday school was 1 hour and 45 minutes, I'd take them all up. Got a lot to say, amen, been reading a lot of Bible. But, that, you know, I said a bunch of stuff that was probably crazy, and, you know, but at least a good quarter of it was true. And some people got help, some people got saved, and probably the preacher was probably sitting behind me going, having to fix messes after I got done preaching. Some people left, which they probably needed to leave, but I got to look at it from that vantage point. I was doing the preaching, amen. Oh, there's some people that's run out of here. Oh, George Mitchell caught a woman running down the highway one day. I mean, she left her car in the parking lot. She left church and left her car in the parking lot. And when George passed her, she had her hands up talking, and he pulled over and said, what's the matter? And she said, "That," and some other choice words. I can't say those in Sunday school or any other place for that matter, but she cussed me up. So I don't even know what I said. I wasn't preaching at her. She just got hit. I don't regret that. But, you know, there are some things I do regret. Just said stupid stuff. Amen? So, you know, if I'm up here talking stupid, you can get mad. But if I'm talking right, you know, fallible people. Did you hear what that preacher said? Yeah, he's just as fallible as you was when you was watching porn. That preacher said I was wicked. Well, you were drinking beer last night. Preacher, you're supposed to have more grace. Well, how about me? Can you have grace with me because I preached a little bit too hard? Or Brother Ken or Brother Joe, can you have a little bit of grace if they, you know, get a little hard on you or something like that? No, don't be hugging. Don't be hugging nobody. Amen. Amen. Firm handshake. Amen. Some of the Bible I don't believe, like greet the brethren with the holy kiss. I think somebody added that in afterwards. I don't go for that too much. Amen. But I'm just kidding about that. I believe it all, but I just don't practice it all. There'd be no hypocrite about it. Amen. I ain't kissing Jake. Amen. Marines don't kiss Air Force guys. Amen. Amen. Although I do appreciate some of them. I got in a fuss with these Air Force MPs one time. Oh, my soul. Listen, here's a tip for you young fellas going in the military. Don't date no girls while you're in there. They'll get you in trouble. Amen. This one pretty girl. Oh, she was a pretty girl. God forgive me, and Ruth too. I was about 18 years old. This girl, like, "You sure are cute," and start talking all kind of stuff like this. "And I like you Marines' hair better than these Air Force guys." She did all that talking just to get me to go with her to pick up a TV from somebody's house. And it was her ex-boyfriend, and it was an MP, and there's a couple MPs there. And oh, my soul, oh, my soul. It was a bad day. But at any rate, you know, you got to stay away from women and don't pick no fights with no Air Force guys, even especially if they're MPs. Amen. And if they got this hat that goes sideways and it kind of looks like an army hat, one of them French girly berets, That's them. Don't mess with them. Amen. Found that out. Amen. If they got this, we called them eraser heads. We shouldn't have done that, but that's what we did. But that was, but they call us jar heads, so we figured we'd get back at them. And that thing flew around the base, too. It stirred up a lot of trouble. And the Air Force guy, I don't know, are they generals? I can't remember my rank structure. But the guy over the Lowry Air Force Base changed the rules of the base so that we couldn't have Marine Corps-style haircuts, no eccentric haircuts, and that included our flat Marine Corps drill instructor that all privates get when they get out of boot camp. Can't have that no more. But that caused a stir because that thing went all the way to the top. But at any rate, I said that to say this, leave women alone and learn your lessons, amen. Let it sink down into your heart. Air Force, at least the MPs can fight, amen. verse number, let's move on. I got time to get through one more verse. Let's look at this. Remember last week we were talking about what's in a man's heart. Verse 9, he that covereth a transgression, what does he do that for? He's seeking love. It's not just did he decide to be nice or did he decide to be mean that day. There's usually something behind what a person's doing. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. And the Bible says in the New Testament that God gives some gifts, and one of those gifts are discernment. And a lot of things, discernment has a lot to do with being able to tell what's behind somebody's actions, the motives that are behind it. It's not easy to do. And a lot of times the ideas that you get from watching somebody's actions could be wrong. It's kind of like a text message. You send somebody a text message, "Hey, this, and that, and the other thing, and this," you know, it's like a paragraph long, and they send you back a text, "Okay." I wonder what's the matter with them. I wonder if they're mad at me. Call them, "Are you mad at me?" it's kind of hard to discern what's going on. Sometimes, you know, say, well, that guy's possessed with the devil because when I did this, he reacted that way. Well, maybe he's got a migraine or something like that. You can't jump to conclusions. And so, you know, a lot of times discernment is not for you to, like, shout from the rooftop, hey, I noticed that guy's possessed by the devil. No, that's for your inward. That's for you to know. Discernment's for you to know inside. Hey, I just perceived that old brother so-and-so back there possessed with the devil and he's been watching bad movies. And No, that's not for you to proclaim from the housetop. That's for your own benefit. That's for you to, you know, you see how to deal with the person, or you see to avoid them or get closer to them and help them or whatever the case might be. But so when you're talking about the motives behind somebody's action, you know, can be a broad spectrum, because as the Bible said, the Lord looketh on the inward man, you look on the outward man. You understand, you know, when looking to make David the king, he thought, surely it's his big brother. Well, they were just going by the outward. And the Lord said, you know, I look on the heart, and I'll be the one to choose. Thank you very much. Yeah. Amen. You're looking at somebody, I bet he's not watching good movies. You see how ornery he is and how ill-tempered he is, something messing with his spirit. Well, don't go tell all your friends, because he might, you know, his wife might have just filed for divorce or something like that. You don't do that to people. Hey, I think we need to pray for Brother Mike. I think he's, you know, losing his mind. No, you don't do that to people. Baptists are bad for doing that to people. Can we play in the Baptist backyard for a while? People always talking about Pentecostals and Catholics and stuff. We're all Baptists here this morning, I think, at least for the most part. We'll talk about our problems instead of somebody else's, because we can't correct theirs. Have to correct our own. Amen. So before you, if you recognize something in somebody else, you know, even if you think that it's a bad motive behind their action, don't go tell everybody. I mean, just, you know, go home and pray for them and stuff like that. You know, if it turns out to be true, then you can say, aha, I've seen that coming, but I don't think you'll feel very good about it. You know, and nobody will believe you. Hey, I knew that beforehand. Amen. I tell Ruth that from time to time. You know, talking about, you know, real bad about stuff that happened to Danny Castle and stuff like that. That's all bad, and a lot of people got hurt about that. I told Ruth, I said, first time I seen that guy, I knew he was crooked. I knew it. I knew he was in a church before makes no difference. But what can I do about it afterward? Oh, you're just making yourself look good. And that's probably what it'll look like. No way to prove it. Just keep it to yourself. God help them. Keep your own distance if you feel bad about somebody. Amen? Sometimes if you feel good about people, discernment's not 100%. Amen. Amen. But there are, having said that, I don't want to just give you one side of the coin. Having said that, there is a thing called discernment, and you can tell sometimes. Amen. And he says an evil, here in verse 9, he said, he that covereth the transgression seeketh love. Man looking for something real. If he's able to forgive real easy. Amen. I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard people say, Alan's always giving people second chances. They're talking about Pastor Ryman. So Alan's always giving people second chances. Well, because the man learned to love. Well, that's what it is. If you learn to love, you'll see where he's coming from. I don't see why he does that. That's because you're a hater. That's right. I don't see why he just keeps on forgiving. Well, it's because you're a hater, man. Well, what's the third option? There ain't no third option. You're a hater. And it's hurting you. It's not hurting anybody else. I mean, other people think ill of you. I mean, other people think ill of you. You're so grouchy and mean, other people think ill of you. Man, he's such a son of Belial that a man can't speak to him. Amen. That got a man killed in the Bible, by the way. Amen. Amen. Not only that, got him killed. The man took his wife, too. That's right. Killed him, took his wife home with him. You say why? Because he was a grouch? That's the truth. Look it up for yourselves in the Old Testament. Oh, you didn't read that part, did you? You were just reading John and Romans. There's a lot of good stuff in here. Amen. A lot of good stuff. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. The fellow in verse 9 seeketh love. The fellow in verse 11, an evil man. I'm going to give you the simple definition of evil. It's not wicked. Evil does not mean wicked. God said he create the evil and the good. Well, evil is anything bad or has a bad effect. A broken tooth is evil. Also, a bank robbery is evil. Evil just means a man or a thing, a person or a thing that has a bad effect. Work is evil. I'm talking about labor. I'm talking about the labor that came about after the curse. The sweat, the toil of the brow. You know, somebody say that work was only invented after the fall. That's not true. God put Adam in the garden, told him to keep it. That's work in and of itself. But if you find the right work, the thing that you like to do, the thing that'll actually keep you and keep your house and keep your life, that'd be a good job to have. That doesn't seem as much like labor. For me, driving a tow truck doesn't seem half as bad as putting shingles down. They both pay the bills. But roofing is evil. It's evil. Have anybody ever roofed? That feeling in your lower back at the end of the day? That's evil. That's evil. And an evil man seeketh only rebellion. A man that has bad effect. He says, I ain't doing that. That's rebellion. Ain't no man going to tell me what. That's rebellion. Did you know that God instituted human government? You have to do what people tell you. I'll tell you what, I ain't listening to Barack Obama. Yes, you are. If he's the president, yes, you are. You say, why? Because God setteth up kings and taketh down kings. Well, Donald Trump, he's an idiot. You better listen to him. You say, why? Because he's the king of this country. Barack Obama was the king of this country. For all practical purposes, a president's in charge. I mean, the president of the United States is the most powerful man in the world. And God has set him over the affairs of men, especially in this country. I ain't listening. You're an idiot. You're a rebellious man. Rebellious man. Well, but people are secretly rebellious. Cop pulls you over. Oh, man, what's this guy? What, this stupid pig? He walks up beside the car. What was I doing, sir? You got all the brave in front of your wife. When he walks off, stupid. But before he walked off, you said, thank you, sir. He writes you the ticket. Thank you. You know who's in charge. Amen. You're just a rebel. Amen. If he pulls you over, he's in charge. Amen. Amen. I like to see these guys on the internet, they roll their window down about this far and say, I don't have to. I'm a sovereign citizen. That's a wicked man. That's an evil. You know, I don't have to. I tried to get this police officer down in Georgia to let me make a video like that. And I had this old beat up truck and I was going to have all these cameras set up on my vehicle like they when they get pulled over. They're speeding on purpose so they'll get pulled over so they can make these videos. So I had this old beat-up pickup truck down. I kind of liked it, but it was just an old beat-up pickup truck. And I was going to have him pull me over, and I was going to roll down my window a little bit and just tell him I didn't have to, and I wanted him to break the window and pull me out. And all you would see through the window is, that's because that's what I think ought to happen along those lines. But at any rate, he wouldn't do it because he thought I might have sued him or something like that, but... I thought it would have been pretty funny. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. If you see a man that's always bad, always having a bad effect, has a bad effect on his kids, has a bad effect on his wife, has a bad effect on everybody he gets around, everybody's uneasy around him, don't know how to listen, that man is a rebel, and that's all he's looking for. You say, well, that's just useless information. What can you do about it? But the information wasn't given necessarily for you to identify him, although You can identify him that way, just like you can the guy in verse 9. But look at the next part of the verse. An evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Now, if you compare that scripture with scripture over in the New Testament, Paul said that he had a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed and asked God three times to remove that thorn from his flesh. But instead of that, the Bible says, God said, my grace is sufficient for me. But you remember what that verse said? It said that he received a messenger of Satan to buffet him. It has to do, the devil and all the devil's minions, I don't really want to use the word minion because you don't think about creatures, you think about little tiny cartoon characters. But if that's the way you want to think about it, they're going to torment you forever. A cruel messenger be sent against you. You think, oh, this is just something bad happened. That's just something bad happened. No, these things are happening because you're an evil person. And I'm not saying you're wicked. I'm just saying you're evil. You have a bad effect on people. Always mad, always fussing, always in a bad mood. Amen. And I've seen those traits in preachers. Just always bad. Everything's always bad. And that's not true. My pastor, one of the greatest preachers, had that same kind of a problem. At some point in his life, I don't know if something didn't go his way. I don't know. But at some point, everything was bad. It got to the place where when he was older, he would just think, now don't nobody come up here and try to hurt me while I'm preaching. Nobody going to try to hurt you. You're 70 years old. You say, what was that? It has something to do with something spiritual, and it's also something physical or mental to where you just so much negativity that takes over after a while. Amen. And you can see it. And you can have the greatest message and the truest message. After a while, it just becomes, it's an evil thing rather than truth or error. That ceases to be a factor. After so long and so much negativity, evil, it's the same thing. After so long, it just takes over to where that's your trait. And it usually shows up in a man that has rebelled in some way, shape, or form. And listen, my pastor, what I think is one of the greatest preachers that's ever been, Carl T. Lackey, I think at some point he was rebellious and continued to be rebellious until the bitterness took over from that. And that can happen to the greatest preachers. Amen. Amen. At one point in the late 90s, I went to a meeting and I heard Dr. Ruckman say, all these, you know, professors and stuff, I could spit on them and drown the whole bunch. And alarm bells went off in my head. Something wrong. That ain't right. That's not right. Listen, I don't care if you love Dr. Ruckman. There's not a person in this room that loves Dr. Ruckman more than me. Too much bitterness and too much negativity is going to ruin you. And the avenue by which the devil will get in there and ruin you with it is the evil, the rebellion. The evil of rebellion will get in and it'll have an effect on you that otherwise wouldn't happen. Amen. I look back at my old preacher and say, I want to be like him, and I do. I looked at Dr. Ruckman, I want to be like him, and I do. But I also want to guard in my own life being a rebellious man. So that guy that's on his second sermon that I was talking about a while ago, when he preaches, I listen. Amen. And when a guy says he don't know, like Brother Mike Minnick, when he was up here the other day, said, Brother, I don't know as much as I should. I love the Lord and trying to preach, and from what I hear, gets people saved when he preaches. I listen to that kind of preaching all day long. Well, it's not Martin Lloyd-Jones and don't know everything in the book, or Dr. Ruckman know everything in the book. But there's a simplicity and an innocence that's missing in preachers today. You know, I think a lot of preachers want that military, which is right. Good soldiers for Jesus. It's right to have that militaristic, militant viewpoint. But it's also the goodness and the innocence. And I would say that to every man in the room that's going to be a witness or a preacher, guard your heart against rebellion. Because it can show up in so many forms, and the result of it is always evil, always negative. And I say these things not to be negative towards any preacher, but I've just given you instances that I've seen in my life. It's good to guard against it. Anybody is subject to it. Anybody's subject to it. And that includes you and me. Amen? All right, Lord, we do thank you, God, for your goodness and grace. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us and strengthen us to do right, to, Lord, improve our lives, not just our lives, but those that live around us take part in our lives and draw from our lives, God. And I pray that you'd help us to be the right kind of influence, the right kind of minister, the right kind of fathers and mothers, the right kind of Christians that we ought to be. Thank you, God, for your goodness and continually lead us. And we'll thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you, God, for these that have gone before us. Some of our parents, some of our preachers in time past, Lord, have been great men and good men, but still had flaws in one area or another. And I pray you'd help us to, the tendency is for men to cover those things. But God, I pray you'd help us just to learn from them. Men are men. I don't hold anything against no man for that sort of thing. But I do want to learn. I do want to guard for things in my own future and my older age. Help us, I pray, and I thank you and praise you for all that you do. And I think we have a good pastor here that's a good influence and a good example in that area, not to get bitter when folks disagree and not to get angry when folks disagree, but to pray and commit these things to the Lord. And I thank you and praise you for all you do for us. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, take a little break between the services. I went just a little long, sorry about that.